This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Let's get to Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. A bad day yesterday as we lost three residents to the COVID-19 battle. Mayor, good morning. I know this isn't any easier for you, and these aren't just numbers on a sheet of paper, but yesterday we had the death, a female in her 80s, a male in his 80s, a male in his 70s. I knew when we were getting the report out a lot later yesterday that probably generally means bad news.
You know, Brian, it does. And you know, I think there's a tendency on the part of a lot of people to say, well, they're all old. Well, you know, put it in perspective. And I realize as we get a little bit older, it becomes a lot more relative. You know, I'm 60. A 70-year-old is 10 years older than me. Am I, you know, not worth anything in 10 years? You know, it's we've got to get a handle on this. And what we've been doing isn't working. And, you know, some of the solutions that the state comes up with just are devastating the local businesses. So, and also, when you look at, you know, when this hit last year, we were going into spring. Now we're going into winter. And I don't know if the state imposes mitigation measures on us, that is just going to destroy these businesses that have not, you know, recovered from the shutdown. So it's just, we are just in a terrible place, and we've got to figure out a way to change behavior. You know, telling people, as we have, you and I have sat here for 7 months every day haranguing people that to wash their hands and wear masks and not be in crowds. And it's just what I don't feel like what we're doing is enough. And so we've got to figure something else out.
I also think that when we talk about the three people who passed away and their age group, if you look at those age groups, those numbers are not skyrocketing in positive test results. You know, we still have something here, something there in a long-term facility, but they're not the numbers that are growing exponentially every single day. It is the 20 to 29-year-olds, the 30 to 39-year-olds, the 40 to 49-year-old numbers that continue to jump at an accelerated rate.
And, you know, when you're younger, you really you feel a little more invincible. And truly, you know, when younger people get sick, they don't seem to get as sick as older people do, because a lot of times you have more health issues as you get a little bit older. But, you know, Brian, anybody, any age can get this. Anybody, any age can die from this.
Or just get sick. I mean, I've been reading studies about women who are pregnant. You look at these long haulers. You look at some of the heart issues with some of the young athletes that have caught this. I mean, it isn't just black or white that you either get it and you're fine or you get it and you're died. There's a whole lot in between.
And it's not like the flu, where once you get over it, you're better. A lot of people have long-term, you know, residual effects of this, whether it's foggy or not being able to do some things or just not feeling well, you know. And so we're still learning about this coronavirus. We don't know enough, and researchers are going at it every day trying to come up with a vaccine. That can't happen soon enough. But, you know, we are going to have the controversy of, do you take it? Who gets it? You know, which, you know, from my understanding, the hot spots of the country are where the vaccine will go first. Well, right now, everything's a hot spot, it seems like. So I don't know how they manage that distribution. But, you know, our local folks are trying to get prepared to be able to do a mass vaccination. You know, and we've got a lot to get through.
What about the hospitalizations? There are 31 people hospitalized right now. I don't know the severity of all 31 of those cases, but are the hospitals keeping an eye on? Clearly, we go back 7 months ago, we were talking about PPE, we were talking about ventilators, we were talking about hospital beds. You know, that has switched a little bit when we're just focusing on positivity rates, but where are we right now as far as the hospitals are concerned?
Well, my understanding is, you know, they're carefully monitoring supplies like PPE because you don't want to burn through everything you have. But we're not in the situation we were last spring where nobody had PPE. You know, our nursing homes weren't equipped at all, long-term care facilities, because they don't deal with patients that have communicable diseases. So they didn't have PPE on hand. Hospitals are really doing a pretty good job, from my understanding, our calls of trying to keep up with PPE. Ventilators are not the issue that they were initially either, because the go-to was ventilators, and there will be patients that are on ventilators, but I can never say the name of this medication, Residivir, I'm close. That's doing better for patients than ventilators. You know, our hospitals are busy. Our ERs, both hospitals here, have been busy. They are busy, as I understand it, across the middle part of the state. And so we're just seeing a lot of sick people. I mean, you can tell that by the numbers. And it's not just Macon County. Sangamon, I'm trying to remember the exact number. It was in the like the upper 60s yesterday. You know, so that they've got two hospitals there, plus smaller hospitals that feed into them as well. There have been outbreaks in some of the correctional facilities, like in Logan. So hospitals across the area are very, very busy. I don't think we're at a crisis point. I would hope we would know that if we were, but I have to tell you, they're busy. Plus, we continue to have patients that have regular emergency situations or regular illness. We're going into flu season, but we have people who are having heart attacks and having strokes and things that hospitals deal with on a regular basis with, you know, COVID on top. Now, the hospitals have the ability to expand the areas that they put aside for COVID patients. I know DMH was in the process of opening up another wing. I don't think they were using it yet from our conversation on Monday. The one really phenomenal thing, or one of the phenomenal things, is the adaptability of our local healthcare system. And whether it's drawing on the resources of the systems that each DMH and St. Mary's belong to, or it's just being able to flip rooms and make things work, I've got a lot of confidence in them. But at the same time, we don't want our hospitals to get overwhelmed, you know, and we could hit that point. I don't know what that point is, but we could hit it. In the meantime, you know, healthcare workers are not immune to getting COVID. And they may get it, you know, not necessarily at work because, you know, they're exceptionally careful at work, but they are just as prone to get it in the community as I was. You know, did I get it at a grocery store? I don't know. You know, where did I get this? So, you know, we have to really be aware that our healthcare workers and our first responders are just as vulnerable as the general population.
Crossing is still offering testing at the Decatur Civic Center parking lot Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until noon. They're working their butts off there.
They've been so busy. It's just God bless those people, because those are not the best conditions right now. It's getting colder. It's rainy and icky out. You know, and bless their hearts, they're out there trying to do their best for us.
When the report comes out every day from the crisis communication team, is the crisis communication team still talking to each other?
Yeah, we have a meeting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every week, and just to make sure that we're where we are, what may be coming next. You know, the health department has been absolutely overwhelmed. They are trying to hire more contact tracers. So on top of everything else, they're interviewing people and trying to get more people signed up to do this as efficiently as possible. But, I mean, they've got a lot going on. You know, Tanya reports out how busy they are and the measures that they're taking to get ready. We hear from both hospitals, okay, what's our capacity? How are we doing? You know, where are we on this? And, you know, Kevin and I pretty much ask a lot of questions. But, you know, I've got serious concerns about our first responders, because we've got PPE for them, but they can't wear it every time and be out there. And meanwhile, everybody's getting pretty overwhelmed, and COVID is throughout this community. So any one of us are likely to come into contact with somebody who's got it.
All right. One request, just from an informational point of view, it's really tough to get the positivity rate. And that is how we are keeping score. I mean, like it or not like it, that's how the governor and the health department, the Illinois Health Department, is looking at these regions. You know, we all know what happened with down south, you know, yesterday, right, and the day before. But what we get a list of, the total amount of people doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, somebody tested positive 7 months ago isn't in play as far as what we're looking at now. But what we get is the number of positive tests. We get an announcement if there's anyone who dies. But if you want to find out about how many tests have been given, you can go to the Illinois.gov site, but then you don't know if that matches up with the day that we're announcing. It's tough to get an accurate positivity rate.
Okay, and here's the thing. We were putting out that positivity rate, but ours was in real time, so it wasn't matching IDPH. IDPH's numbers are with the exception of deaths and the number of tests and that sort of thing, for whatever reason, what is reported, and I believe it's once a week on their website, and I'm not 100% sure, Brian, because I don't go there every day, but they are looking at numbers from basically a week ago. So when we were putting out numbers, they differed from IDPH's numbers. The ones you get every day are real time. But putting the positivity rate out on that confuses people because it's different than what the state is reporting out. But they're making their decisions based on where we were last week.
Okay,
so that's the reason for the difference.
I guess I get that. I just it would be nice to know. You know, 8 is this number we're looking at.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard numbers that have been over 10% for Macon, but you know, it just depends on the day. I mean, our stuff is real time, but what the governor is basing his decisions on, or what's on the IDPH website from a week ago. So those are really critical numbers. And unfortunately, we're not getting better. You know, if we could make our case, Brian, if we could say, okay, look, all right, we had a bad couple of weeks, but look at this. We are doing better. We're not. So, it's just very frustrating because we don't have a lot to work with here. And what we're doing isn't having the impact it needs to have.
How are you doing physically?
I'm really, really tired. But, you know, there are so many people that are so very, very sick. I'm not whining about anything. You know, I'm just kind of doing what I can do. I'm working from home, both for the city and for the hospital, and doing as much as I possibly can, but not pushing it too far because I want to be able to be healthy and back at work as soon as possible, which is supposed to be sometime next week.
Okay. And then how is the council operating in your absence?
Electronically. You know, I had a meeting with Scott Wrighton yesterday on the phone, and I've sent out some information to council, and, you know, but that's really not that much different from a regular work week or regular week. I've got some calls I'm behind on that I need to get to, but for the most part, it's the same as normal. We had a council meeting Monday night where I thought Pat McDaniel was going to be able to run the meeting. Apparently, under municipal code, he can't if I'm there. So it's either I'm in or out. So it was a little challenging because he was kind of having to guide me as far as who had a comment or question and whether people in the audience wanted to speak, because it's hard to tell from the wide shot of the council sitting on the stage of the theater in the Civic Center who's got their hand up. So it's, you know, but we're making it work. And thankfully for electronics, the world doesn't come to a screeching halt just because I'm home.
All right.
Not that I have that much power.
No, Mayor, keep yourself safe and take care of yourself and your family. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.